Hare Krishna. So, today's the day of Krishna Balaram Maha Mahotsava. And Prabhupada always wanted us to glorify these days and live accordingly. And we'll be fasting today until noontime, isn't it? Isn't today also a holiday of some sort in India? What is it? Oh, Raksha Bandhan, yeah. So many places are closed and there'll probably be a lot of pilgrims coming around the Govardhan. So, a few things we know about Balaram is that he's the elder brother of Krishna, son of Rohini, wife of Vasudev. Bala means strength. Krishna's qualities, Aishwaryasya Samogasya, Virya Yasya. Virya also means strength. We know that he was very powerful, and he's the first expansion of Krishna. He was able to drag the entire city of Hastinapur toward the Jamuna River. He's manifested as Nityananda. He's white-complected, wears blue clothing. He's very grave, but sometimes he becomes intoxicated by drinking Varuni liquid. There's a pastime described at length in the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam about his spiritual intoxication. We also know that he didn't take part in the Kurukshetra war. He was on a pilgrimage. He was the martial instructor on the gada, or the club of Duryodhana. So he was related to Krishna in the family of the Yadavas, but he was also spiritually related to Krishna. And have any of you probably been to that temple Gauri Dauji temple on Vrindavan, in the Vrindavan path? So there's a very nice lore that goes with that temple, why it was built. And I think Mahanidhi has written about this in one of his books, if I recall correctly. Anyway, it so happened that one day it was, Balaram is also known as Dauji, that's his nickname. It was his birthday. And Krishna and the Gopas were sporting, and one of their sportings was wrestling. And Krishna was bragging that I am the strongest and the toughest and the meanest wrestler of all the cowherd boys in Braj. Nobody can defeat me. So some of the cowherd boys were on Balaram's side. And even though he wasn't there, they were rooting for Balaram. They said, well, it's Balaram's birthday, and if he were here, Krishna wouldn't be speaking like that, because he's the elder brother and he's much stronger than Krishna. So the gopis, especially Purnamasi and Vrindadevi, were trying to convince Radharani that she should dress up like Dauji, like Balaramji that day, and she should wrestle with Krishna. So she said, I can't do that. I'm just very feeble. I'm Ambala, which means not strong. I'm very, very delicate. I can't wrestle with Krishna. But they convinced him, dressed like Krishna, like Balaram, and if you dress up like him, then Krishna will think that's who you are. So she said, no, I can't do it. And they finally persuaded her to dress in the garb of Balaram. So she put on Balaram's clothes, the yellow dhoti, and looked just like him. So then she went to the place where the gopas were wrestling, and they were hearing Krishna brag, I am the strongest wrestler in Braj. And she didn't want to speak, because if she spoke, she knew that her voice would betray her disguise, and she was disguised as Balaram. So when the gopas who were rooting for Balaram saw her dressed like Balaram, they said, aha, Balaram has come, and now he will show who is the strongest wrestler. So she was thinking to herself, I can't do this. I'm not strong. But anyway, Krishna thought she was Balaram. So they engaged in a wrestling match. And at first, there was a very, some of the gopas were rooting for Krishna, and some of them were praying for Balaram to win the wrestling match. And then Krishna somehow or other picked up Radharani as Balaram and threw him a great distance, or her a great distance. And so she landed on her back, and she was hurt, and she said, I can't do this. I'm too weak. I'm just going to surrender. But then, and there were many gopis. They were watching this whole thing, hundreds of them, from the bushes. No one could see them. They were watching the wrestling match. So Purnamasi and Vrindadevi came out to her, and they said, no, we have to go and wrestle some more. This is just the first round. Don't think that Krishna can defeat you. You have to go back and wrestle some more. And she said, I can't do it. And they said, but you're a Shakti. You have the great strength. You are the internal potency of Krishna. You can defeat him. I know you can do it. So finally, even though she was very reluctant, they convinced her. So she went back and they had a wrestling match some more. And this time she was thinking, now I'm Shakti. And some of the gopas were praying for Balaram to win the wrestling match. And others were praying that Krishna should win. So there was a very intense rivalry going on. And then, somehow or other, Radharani was able to pick up Krishna and throw him a great distance, and he landed on his back. So then she became very disturbed. And because she's as Balaram, Balaram has two different rasas. There's the Sakya ras, which is a friendly ras, and there's the Vatsalya ras, which is a kind of protective and parental rasa. So she saw him lying on his back looking very helpless, and out of her, because of her Vatsalya ras and her Sakya ras, she ran over to him and to see if he was all right. And when she became very close, he looked at her and she looked at him, and then he knew that it was not Balaram, it was actually Radharani, because when their eyes met, he could understand that it was actually Radharani. So that particular pastime is commemorated in that temple called the Gauri Dauji Temple on the Parikram path in Vrindavan. It's still there, you can still see it, and many people are visiting it today. So that's the Gauri Dauji Temple. Then some devotees asked Prabhupada, well, who is stronger anyway? Is it Krishna, he's the Supreme Lord, or is it Balaram? Because Bala means strength. And Balaram is very strong. He's the what scientists call gravity, and he's holding all the planets on his head as an antasesha. So he's very, very strong. So some devotees asked Prabhupada one day, who is stronger, Balaram or Krishna? It's a very good question. So he said, if you look at the temple, Krishna Balaram, and Krishna Balaram temple was named after Krishna and Balaram because they used to sport and play in that area and wrestle in the Raman Reti area. Raman Reti means pleasing sands. I don't know if it's all been bricked over by now because there's a lot of Kali Yuga infringement in the Vrindavan area. They're putting pavement over it so trucks can drive over it. But it was one time Raman Reti, and one day maybe ISKCON will restore it to its original pristine condition of sand, the Raman Reti pleasing sand. So, in this temple, Krishna Balaram temple, like this is a Krishna Balaram temple, Krishna Balaram Shilas, Prabhupada put Krishna and Balaram in the middle altar. And that became the Krishna Balaram temple. And in many ways, it is the home of Prabhupada in the center of Krishna movement. And Radha Shamsundar there on the right side of them, and Gornitaya on the left. So anyway, they were asking Prabhupada, who is stronger, Krishna or Balaram? So he said, if you look at the deities in the temple, you'll see that Balaram is actually leaning against Krishna. And that's the proof that Krishna is stronger than Balaram. Even though Balaram is very strong, this is the proof that Krishna is stronger because Balaram is leaning against him. So that's what Prabhupada said when he was asked that question. Who is stronger? So one can take, we have to take shelter of Balaram on this day and try to become very strong, because in his preaching, Prabhupada was known as being a very bold preacher. In Hyderabad, once he was on a walk, and he, for about 10 or maybe 15 minutes, Pancha Dravida was saying to Prabhupada, well, these people that go to church and go to their mosques, they say they love God. But we're preaching that love of God is in Krishna consciousness, and you have to chant Hare Krishna. So Prabhupada was saying, well, they're saying they go to church, they go to the mosque, they love God. They love God anyway. So what is the value? So no one could give the right answer. Sometimes someone would say, well, they don't have real devotion because we're chanting 24 hours a day, but they're just going once a week. And we're doing 24 hours a day. So Prabhupada was saying, well, they say I'm going to church. Maybe I'm only going once a week, or maybe I'm only thinking of God 8 hours a day, but I still love God. That's still loving God. I love God just as much as you Hare Krishna people love God. So finally, one devotee said, but you're not following your teacher, Jesus Christ or Muhammad. And Prabhupada said, yes, that is the right answer, that they're not following their teacher. Christ was giving so many instructions, including that thou shalt not kill, but they're killing. So he said, this is the right answer. You must follow your teacher, and if you're not following your teacher, you're not Krishna conscious. So Prabhupada was very bold, very strong, very strict. And he's noted for saying that if you have religion, but you don't have philosophy, that's just sentiment. And if you have philosophy, but you don't have religion, that's just mental concoction. So Prabhupada would argue with theologians, he would argue with theosophists, he would argue with scholars. I was told that when the Americans said they went to the moon, what year was that? 1969? Yeah. I think it was in June or July. The Prabhupada said, no, they did not go to the moon. This is false. And one devotee in Hawaii told me that Prabhupada called for a news conference the next day to say that we don't believe that this is true, that this is false, that they didn't go to the moon, because they said that they were going at a certain velocity. And according to the Jyotish Shastras and according to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, the moon is further away than the sun. The moon the sun is said to be 93 million miles away from the earth. And according to the Surya Siddhanta and the Jyotir Shastras, the moon is even further away by 1.5 million miles more. So it would be 95.5 million miles away. And at the speed that they were going, at the time it took them to get there, Prabhupada said, is it impossible? So on this basis, he made a statement and he called a news conference. I don't think anybody came, but he held it anyway. And because he was very bold and very bala, and he said that this is all false. No one went to, they could not go. They did not go. So Prabhupada was very, very bold and very strong. And he set the example that we should be speaking very boldly. And he said that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Maharaj distinguished between two types of devotees. He said there were the Dandava devotees, the devotees who might put a few pice in the hundi box, might offer prostrations and bow down and have tears in their eyes and come to the temple every day. But then there were another class of devotees that he called the hearing devotees. They would listen. They would simply listen. And they would absorb the teachings of Vyasadeva and the other great saints and sadhus in our line. And they would be greater devotees, stronger devotees, because they would be the hearing devotees. And Prabhupada himself said that when Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati would finish his lectures, he would just stay because he wanted to hear. He wasn't following all the rituals and regulations. This is a kind of niyamagraha. But he would try to hear and absorb the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. And sometimes Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was known as the Singha Guru, the Lion Guru, because when he was, sometimes he would see someone who was a Mayavadi or an impersonalist philosopher coming down the road, and he would stop him and try to convince him that you must become a Vaishnava. You must see that Krishna is a person. And when Lord Chaitanya was a young student in Navadvip, sometimes he was referred to as the personification of arrogance, because he would argue with everyone and try to defeat everyone's philosophy. And he was expert at it. He could defeat everyone. Even though he was a young boy, he defeated the Digvijayas, the Keshava Kashmiris, many older scholars in Sanskrit. And sometimes in Navadvip, because Navadvip was a city where people came from all over India and even other parts of the world to engage in the sport of debate. To them it was like today's soccer or rugby matches. They would engage in this as a great sport. So when other young scholars of the schools of Navadvip would see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Nimai Pandit, coming down the road, they would run away because they were afraid he would grab them and defeat them. So they would actually run in the opposite direction. Vrindavan Das Thakur has written about this in Chaitanya Bhagavad. So Prabhupada taught us to be like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, to be Singha Gurus, to be very bold and be very philosophical. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was speaking with Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya and Prakasananda Saraswati, he was speaking from Vedanta philosophy. He was not speaking about the inner pastimes between Radhika and Madhava, about the Siddha Pranalis and about our original swarups and about the Sarika Rasas. He was speaking philosophy. So this is what Prabhupada wanted us to do in remembrance of Balaram, to be very strong preachers and to worship Balaram in this way, to engage in the strengths of devotional service. Arjuna also exhibited this great strength. He wasn't asked to sit down and meditate, but he had to fight for life, fight thousands of Kauravas. Prabhupada sometimes said that preaching is a thankless task, that people will spit on us, they will throw things at us, they will insult us, they will be very difficult, very impossible. And yet, he said that we must take all risks to preach. And this is one of the things that distinguishes Prabhupada from so many other Gaudiya Vaishnava preachers, or so-called preachers, that he was very bold and would not accept defeat. So in this way we can remember Krishna Balaram, especially on Balaram Mahamahotsava Day. Shri Krishna Balaram Mahamahotsava Ki Jai, Balaram Mahamahotsava Ki Jai, Balaram Mahamahotsava Ki Jai. Hare Krishna. So anyone else to say anything? Now's the time. I might have left some things out, or you might have some pastimes you wanted to speak about, or qualities of Balaram. You say. No, go ahead. Maharaj, I've spoken.
Sirupam sakradatam saganaradhanatam tam sadhikam sadhvetam sabadatam parigana saitam krishnam jaitanyam yada krishnam balam saganaradha sivisakhanatam sadhikam Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Vandhu Jagat Pate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastade Tatta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vishavamasate Devi Tanamami Haripe Bancha Kalpataru Vyascha Kripa Sindhu Devacha Patitanam Pavanebhu Vishnamebhu Namanna Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Like Maharaj said, there are two types of devotees. One type is hearing devotee. So I wanted to be a hearing devotee. I was not expecting to speak. So anyway, by the order of Maharaj I have to speak. So today is the appearance day of Lord Balaram, who is the first expansion of Lord Krishna. And he is also at the Guru Tattva, because he is setting the example how to serve Lord Krishna. So the Guru, who acts like an acharya, he sets the example, teaches others how to serve Krishna. So Balaram, as first expansion of Krishna, he is serving Lord Krishna in five different ways. So Lord Balaram himself is serving Lord Krishna in the form of Lord Krishna's umbrella, his throne, his suits, his bed, and so many other, his thread, and so many other ways. And also, he is serving Lord Krishna in this material creation in the form of three Purusha avatars: Karanadakshaya Vishnu, Garbhadakshaya Vishnu, and Kshirodakshaya Vishnu. And the fifth one is Lord Balaram is serving Krishna as Anantases, as his serpent bed. So, in this way, Lord Balaram is serving Lord Krishna. So, Lord Krishna has nothing to do in the material creation, though he is the source of everything and all incarnations, but still, He is not personally participating in this material creation. He is participating through these Purusha avatars. So, and these three Purusha avatars, they are all coming from Lord Balaram. Lord Balaram expands himself into the quadruple expansions, Vasudev, Sankarsan, Pradyumna and Anuruddha. And from Sankarsan, who is called Mahasankarsan, from him these Purusha avatars are coming. So in this way, Lord Balaram actually helping Krishna in this process of creation. And he is also acting as Ananta says. So in the different pastimes, Lord Balaram is also acting as bed of or sitting place of the Lord. And apart from this, we can see that Lord Balaram is also serving Krishna in five different rasas. So in the it has been stated that the spiritual abode and all this paraphernalia of Lord Krishna, they are extension of Lord Balaram. And also Lord Balaram serves Krishna in Dasaras. So when Krishna and Balaram, both of them, they go to the forest. And then in the forest, they will play. So sometimes, like Maharaj was telling, that Balaram and Krishna, they would fight with one another. They would fight like two bulls. So sometimes, in this fighting, then Krishna will become tired. And he would rest on the lap of a cowherd boy. And then Balaram would go and massage his feet, Krishna's feet. So in this way, Balaram would serve Krishna. And at the same time, when in the first time when Krishna went to graze the calves with the cowherd boys, so Mother Yashoda was very anxious that she did not want to leave Krishna. So, but Krishna was he was interested to go and herd the calves. So Mother Yashoda told Balaram that you are his elder brother, so you should be always with Krishna and make sure that Krishna would not face any difficulty in the forest. So in that way, Lord Balaram, he also took care of Krishna in the forest, like the parents take care of the child. So sometimes Lord Balaram would see that if Krishna is all right or if he is feeling hungry, or in different ways he would try to take care of. And sometimes if when Krishna would fight with the demons, sometimes Balaram would also become very anxious for Krishna. So like when Bakasura came, that time Bakasura, he grabbed Krishna, and Krishna was already within the mouth of Bakasura. So that time, all the cowherd boys, including Balaram, they were very anxious for Krishna. They thought that Krishna now has gone into the stomach of Bakasura, this demon. But when Krishna went through the inside the demon's throat, then he became very hot. So then the Bakasura, he felt a great heat coming from Krishna. So he could not tolerate that heat, then he threw away Krishna from his throat. And then Krishna came out and then bifurcated Bakasura's beaks. So in this way Bakasura was killed, and all the cowherd boys and Balaram, they were relieved. So in this way, Balaram was taking care of Krishna, and in Sakharasa he was playing with Krishna like all other cowherd boys. So sometimes in Sakharasa, they would try to tease Krishna. And once all the cowherd boys, including Balaram, they came to Mother Yashoda and complained against Krishna. They said that today Krishna has eaten dirt. So when Mother Yashoda heard this, then she went to Krishna and then she asked Krishna, "You have eaten dirt?" And Krishna said, "No, I have never eaten any dirt." So then Mother Yashoda said that your friends are telling that you have eaten dirt. So then Krishna said that, "My dear mother, all these friends, today they were defeated in your play. So they are very angry on me. That's why they are lying and they are complaining against me to you." So then Mother Yashoda said that, "Okay, all your friends, they were defeated by you and they were angry on you. That's why they complain to me. But your brother Balaram is also complaining. Then what about him?" So then Krishna said that, "My dear mother, today Dauji has also taken their sides. He was also angry on me and he has also taken their sides." So then Mother Yashoda said, "Okay, if Balaram has taken their sides, so but I want to know that really whether you have eaten that or not." So then Krishna said, okay, if you don't believe on my words, then you can see my mouth. So then Krishna opened his mouth. And then he saw, Mother Yashoda saw the entire universe within the mouth of Krishna. Even Mother Yashoda saw herself within the mouth of Krishna, that Mother Yashoda has taken Krishna in her lap and she was feeding milk to Krishna. So Mother Yashoda was very much surprised that how is it that this is my small child Krishna and how is it that whole universe can be contained within his mouth? Maybe this is not true. Maybe I am dreaming or I have become mad. I have become illusioned. So in this way, Mother Yashoda is thinking that then again she saw that entire universe and all these different planetary systems and all these entire Brahmas and Nanda Maharaj, Yashoda, everyone is inside Krishna's mouth. Then she, for the time being, she thought Krishna must be God. So then she thought that actually all this material relationship is temporary. Mother Yashoda, she was thinking that Krishna is God and all this material relationship is temporary. And she was even thinking that my relationship with Nanda Maharaj is also temporary. So when Mother Yashoda became like detached from material world in this way, then Krishna employed his internal energy, his yoga maya. Then again Mother Yashoda forgot that Krishna is God and that mood of awe and reverence disappeared. Then Mother Yashoda again thought, no, Krishna is my child. And she forgot about all these things she saw within the mouth of Krishna. So in this way, Mother Yashoda took Krishna within her lap and in this way, Krishna played the pastimes of eating dirt. And we can see that how Balaram was playing also the part of Krishna's friends. And he was also taking the side of Krishna's friends. And in this way, he was enjoying Sakhyarasa with Krishna. And also, Lord Balaram, he takes part in Madhurya also as Ananga Manjari. So Lord Balaram expands himself as Ananga Manjari, the younger sister of Srimati Radharani, and also takes part in Madhurya also and serves Krishna in that way. So in this way we can see that Lord Balaram, he is serving Krishna in every respect and he himself is thinking that he is the servitor of Lord Krishna. Though there is no difference between Krishna and Balaram except with the bodily color, but still Balaram always thinks himself as the servant of Lord Krishna. That's why he is called the servitor Godhead. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and Balaram is servitor Godhead. That's why we can see the spiritual masters, those who represent Lord Balaram, they are servitor Godheads. They are respected as the Supreme Personality of Godhead because they are representing the Supreme Lord. So in this way, we can see that Lord Balaram in this when Lord Krishna appeared as Lord Ram, that time Lord Balaram came as Lakshman. And he was the younger brother in that pastime. He was the younger brother of Lord Ram. So, because he was younger brother and Lord Ram's pastimes is full of different miseries, so Lakshman, he was always tolerating. Though he was not supposed to tolerate all those miseries, but he was, as younger brother, he was tolerating. But he could not say anything to Lord Ramachandra, as younger brother. So he was thinking that I would never become younger brother anymore. Because as elder brother, he has to order me and I have to tolerate all these things, which I cannot tolerate. I cannot see my Lord suffering in this way. So in the next incarnation, when Krishna came, he became the elder brother, so he can order Krishna. So he would not tolerate the misery. And also we can see that in Krishna's pastimes, Krishna did not suffer any miseries. He was enjoying. As the Supreme Lord, he was always enjoying. And Lord Balaram was assisting Lord Krishna in that way. So he does not have to tolerate like Lakshman tolerated in case of Lord Ram. So in this way you can see that Lord Balaram is teaching us that how to serve Lord Krishna in every respect, and in this way he is playing the role of an acharya and role of the greatest servant of Lord Krishna. And in this way, from him only we can get this bala or strength, this spiritual strength. He is called Balaram. He is the source of all strength. So we can get spiritual strength from Lord Balaram to serve Lord Krishna. So Lord Balaram is the giver of spiritual strength. So on this appearance day of Lord Balaram, we can pray at his lotus feet to give us that spiritual strength, so we can serve Lord Krishna to the greatest of our capacity. Hare
Krishna. How does Krishna Balaram seem to be installed?
Sorry. Actually, when we came here, we took possession of this property. There was a small temple here, and there were many Giriraj Shilas here. And the previous king, who was the owner of this palace, so he was worshipping all those Giriraj Shilas. So, for some time then we worshipped also those silas. Then we thought it is not practical to take care of so many silas. So we just kept only one sila, this Krishna sila, in that small temple, old temple. And we started worshipping that Krishna sila only. And all other silas we took out from that temple and we kept under that kadamba tree in our garden. Still those silas are there, we are still worshipping. And then we are worshipping that Giriraj sila as Krishna. And Krishna was single at that time. So that was located now, we have this Prasadam hall. So there was that small temple. We broke that temple and then we made this Prasadam hall. And we shifted the temple to the other place, other courtyard. We made another temple. So then, when we were constructing our boundary wall, so that time we were digging the underground water tank in that corner where now we have our generator room. So there is a now safety tank. So when we were digging that tank, then this Balaram Shila came out from that tank. Yeah. And we brought it out. And all the Brajavasis, they were working here, so they said this is Giriraj Shila. Actually, Giriraj is underneath our ashram. And there is a proof also, scientific proof of this, that when we wanted to find out the sweet water source for this ashram, so we called this Geological Survey of India people from Delhi. So they would make the survey and tell us where we can get sweet water in this property. So they had all those electronics equipments they brought, and initially they, in front of a main gate, they put those machines and sent electric waves. And they told us if they can find this stone surface, under the stone surface there is a possibility of sweet water. And they found the stone surface after 18 meters from the ground level. But then they said that this stone surface was unending. They could not find the end of that stone layer. So then they came to the back side of our property. And in the back side they saw after 90 meters the stone surface was static. But again they could not find the end of that stone layer. It was unending. So then they concluded there is no possibility of sweet water in this property. So we can see that Giriraj is in a sloping condition. Giriraj has gone down. See, he is in the sloping condition. That's why after 18 meters they found the stone surface. And in the back they found after 90 meters. So what we see now, this is Giriraj hill. This is only top portion of Giriraj hill. And the rest is underneath. So this Brajavasi told us that this is Giriraj Shila, which came out from this water tank. So then we brought it to the temple, that old small temple we had. And this Krishna Shila was there, we put next to him. And if you mark, you can see that Krishna is blackish and Balaram is whitish. And he is little fat also. Krishna is little skinny and Balaram Shila is fat. And they are both in the same height. So when we put with Krishna, they are looking like Krishna and Balaram. So Asur Prabhu said they are Krishna and Balaram. And actually, there are three Ramanaratis in Braj. Like in Vrindavan, we have our own, there are Ramanarati, where Prabhupada established his Krishna and Balaram temple. And there is another Ramanarati in Gokul, where Krishna Balaram, they are also playing in their childhood days, at the age of 2 or 3. So there is another Ramanarati there. And here in Govardhan, this area is also called Ramanarati. So Krishna and Balaram, every day they used to come from Nandagram to herd the cows and calves here. They will bring the cows and calves here, they will leave them on Govardhan hill, and they will wrestle and play in this Ramanarati area. And Maharaj might have remembered, and I also remembered when I joined in Vrindavan in 81. So that time we used to come for Govardhan Parikrama, there was no road here. There was all sand, full of sands. And we used to walk on sands. So that reminds me that this was actually Ramanarati. This is full of sands. So, and then Krishna Balaram manifested here. This is actually, we can say, coincidence. Then since then we worshipped them as Krishna and Balaram here in this place. That was in 94. And 94 February we got this property on Varaha Dwadasi day. Just before the day of Nityananda Trayodashi. Yeah.
Maharaj, you were describing that Srila Prabhupada, when he answered that question from the devotees about who has love of God or who's serious and who isn't, Prabhupada said that the real thing was that who's following your teacher. So my question is, it seems like it's an extension of the same thing, that someone has love of God. Well, everyone has love of God to some degree. And similarly, somebody might say that, I'm following my teacher to some degree. And at the same time, we can see that there's hardly anyone who's following every single instruction that they receive from the spiritual master. So how do we reconcile that?
Well, I think in this case, Prabhupada was specifically referring to the people in Hyderabad where the devotees were preaching. And they were specifically talking about people who went to churches and mosques. But it would also apply to people who go to temples. So it's not just Christians and Muslims, but also Hindus. The idea would be that everyone would say that they believe in God, or they have some love for God, or they follow some teachings to some extent. But as you were pointing out, it's all relative, because Srila Prabhupada said that the meditation should be something like samadhi. It should be 24 hours a day, not just going to the mosque or church, not just 8 hours a day or once a week, or 8 hours a week or once a week, but continuous. So I don't think it's recorded anywhere that Prabhupada ever said, work now, samadhi later. But the idea of that, and maybe he said it to somebody at some point, and it didn't get recorded, was that, it was Tamal Krishna Maharaj who said on Prabhupada's disappearance day once, that he said to Prabhupada that, I know the codes of the Bombay municipal law better than I know the Bhagavad Gita, and that worries me. So Prabhupada's answer to him was, if you give your life to Krishna, then Krishna will forever remember you. So, in other words, he was saying that more important than memorizing shlokas and knowing the whole Bhagavad Gita from memory would be to engage in practical devotional service. Like Arjuna did. He was not considered a Brahmin. He was considered a Kshatriya. And he wasn't asked to meditate, but he was asked to engage in some active service, which was very dangerous and very risky. In other words, he was asked to prove his love for God. So in Prabhupada's parlance, or Prabhupada's way of thinking, loving God wasn't just prosaic, or saying, I love God, or I believe in God, or I go to the church, or I go to the mosque, or I go to the temple, but to actually prove to everyone that I love God. It would be a matter of life and death that I love God, not just something that I said, or something that I think, or something that I do once a week, but that I'm giving everything I have, all my thoughts, my words, my very life itself, and I'm in constant meditation or samadhi upon serving God. That is love of God in its ultimate phase, its ultimate position. It's not just saying, I love God. Anyone can say, I love God, or I believe in God. But it's different for a Vaishnava who is a follower of Prabhupada to say that he's going to fight to the end of life, take all risks, and follow every single utterance of his teacher, and to be able to prove love. Sometimes people, men and women will say, oh, I love my wife, I love my husband. But the proof is Dadati Pradiganati Guyama Kachapichti. Are they giving gifts? Are they providing food? Are they revealing their mind? So these are three things that help us deepen our love, our attraction to Krishna. And Krishna also says, Ya idam paramam guyam, the one who is engaged constantly in speaking about the glories, that is the most dear person to me. So Krishna is actually saying that you have to prove your love for me. You can't just say it or think it, but you have to prove it by how you act and how you and your life itself. So I think that's what Prabhupada was saying about following the teacher. Of course, there are a million charlatans to every genuine guru or teacher, but a genuine teacher expects disciples to act in a certain way and gives constant instructions, not just about going to the temple on Sunday, but about how to act, how to eat, how to walk, how to think, how to write in every way. And Prabhupada was one off in that sense, that he was unique, that he was bold, and he was uncompromising, and he expected everything to be clean. Yamuna once told me that he told her to clean the room, and she cleaned his room, but then he picked up a pen on his desk and pulled it apart and found a few specks of dust inside the pen, And she was thinking, why is he doing this? But he was always the teacher, showing that cleaning means something more than we might initially think. It doesn't mean just picking up piles of dust. It means going one step further. And Prabhupada was showing us by that and other examples. And he asked a person to cleanse the floor, and he was dissatisfied. This is a story someone told me. I think it's true. With the way it was being cleaned. So he was sitting on his Vyasasana, and he got down on the floor, took the brush from the man, and said, no, like this, and did it himself to show to what degree he wanted the floor clean. It wasn't just picking up the dust, but it was going that one step beyond. And then sometimes Prabhupada said about how a father sometimes wants his son to take over the business, but if he's really a good servant, he'll take it to a higher level, and he'll bring in even more money than the father was bringing in. He's not simply maintaining it, but he's taking it to a higher level. And it's that, those are the kinds of instructions that Prabhupada was giving. And in that way, he was empowering his disciples to act. Not just giving them instructions to say they love God, but he would give them a lot of freedom. In other words, he established deities. But those deities were very gorgeously dressed. They were, if you look at deities of other sampradayas, they have a lot of tinsel and glitter, but they're not the same. They don't have the elegance that Prabhupada's deity worship has. And you can see that by going to any other temple right here in Braj. The Krishna Balaram temple and the kinds of clothes that the deities here wear are special. Prabhupada used the word gorgeous to describe what deity worship meant. So it wasn't just having a deity and putting clothes on him and her, but making them very irresistibly attractive. Anyway, these are some thoughts. So, I don't know, we want to go a long time, but... Now, as far as Dhanakasura was concerned, I think there's description in the 10th canto that Krishna and Balaram were just twirling the demons around like little children play with tops and strings and rope and twine. And then that when there were so many of these big demons in the treetops and the tops of the palm trees, they looked like clouds. And life went on as usual. So Prabhupada describes that Krishna killed demons in the word he uses is nonchalant. In a nonchalant way. And he gave the example of someone that's a tourist visiting someplace like, say, Venice or Tahiti or any place. And they just want to go and look at the sights, but then they see something in a shop that they want to buy as a kind of a side attraction. So I think, okay, I'll go in there and I'll buy that thing. Sometimes very wealthy people, they call it power shopping. They just buy everything they can see before they get on the airplane to go back. Anyway, Krishna would kill demons like that. It was just, okay, there's a demon, so I'll kill him. Let's get him out of the way. So that's the way that Balaram, meaning strength, would deal with the demons. It wasn't a big life or death fight. It was just a nonchalant thing. Oh, he's a demon. He's in the way. I'll go into his mouth like Bakasura or spin him up throw him up into the treetops. Aristasura, just grab his horns and finished. Anyways. Balaram Maha Mahotsava Ki Jai.